Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here with yours truly, your hostess, Lisa Marie, here on the South Pacific Network 9 on Wonderful Wednesday. And I hope that you are enjoying the beginning, the triumph entry into this new season. I'm sending and wishing you a happy, joyful, fun-filled, adventurous summer 2020. And I hope it's off to a beautiful start. Certainly the weather has been beautiful. And I'm excited to be here with you to pronounce the blessing of the benediction for Father of the Bride, Vows and Oaths. And I tell you, there's always much more I could share with you in the offerings that I do each month. But I covered as much as I could and shared most of what the Lord, all of what the Lord has given me. The Lord always shares more with us because the Word of God is endless. But I'm just excited to be here to pronounce the blessing of the benediction, which is important at the release of each offering every month. And I'm excited to pronounce the benediction because the benediction is important because it's the pronouncement, which I share with you, of the blessing at the end of a service. And the benediction is important because it seals as well as manifest the purpose of the engrafted word that you've heard and received in your heart, which is the seed of God. The word of God is seed, and when it's planted in a good heart and in good ground, it brings forth fruit. So I'm blessing and praising God for the prophetic message he gave me on this month, celebrating fathers and covenants, as well as brides, June brides, And I certainly hope that you have received by the Holy Spirit that which you need to know by having an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, which ultimately will produce faith. Amen. Because the Word of God always comes to birth faith in us, to inspire us. Amen. It's the inspired Word of God that we receive, and we have hope. Glory be to God. And hope is very important. So I just wanted to share that with you. I felt it was important to always seal the messages in the offerings that I do each month, because it seals it, it archives it, and most importantly, God blesses it. He really does. And this is my opportunity to bless you for attending and being in attendance and receiving my witness and my testimony. Because truly everything that I share with you because it's been given to me by the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm to do, what we're to do in fulfilling the Great Commission and calling to preach the gospel in its entirety, meaning eating the whole roll, eating the whole roll. Glory be to God. And I'm excited to pronounce this blessing upon you. As I release it, I bless God for you. I pray that the Word of God has taken root and that it will manifest the fruit that is intended. God says His Word will not return to the void, but it will prosper wherein He sends it. Amen. He watches over His Word to perform it. And most importantly, I pray that your covenant with God, your covenant, if you are lawfully joined together in the sacrament of marriage, that your union will be blessed forever. Glory be to God. And that God's grace and peace will continue to keep the bonds of your marriage, and that God will continue to be the head. Christ will continue to be the head of your marriage. I release this and declare this upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to get right into the foundational scripture that I put on my the information page, which will seal this offering. And it comes from Revelation 3rd chapter. And as always, I'm in studio, but I'm on air, but I'm not in studio. So if you want to go over to my Facebook post, open another window and go to my Facebook page and go to the post that I put on yesterday, because I put this on yesterday. You could follow along with me in its entirety and everything that I've put on. And you could read along with me. Now, I'm going to be not going to be going in. I'm going to go in order, but I'm not going to go into detail. So I always kind of share with you what each scripture says and expound upon it. And in your own time, you can kind of go back and read it. And I tell you, when the Holy Spirit begins to minister to me, I believe in sharing all that He has to say. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because we want to know everything God is saying and you have revelation of what He's saying and what He's saying in the now. So Revelation, the third chapter, is the revelation of Apostle John, who had received elevation and received by revelation of Jesus Christ the things that God was speaking to him. In Revelation, the third chapter, these are the things said he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So John was speaking by revelation of Jesus Christ, of what was revealed to him by the Spirit. And he was writing to the churches here, speaking to his beloved by way of the Spirit of God, by way of revelation knowledge, by way of the Holy Spirit, which as he acknowledged had and discerned had the seven spirits of God and the seven candlesticks. And in him writing, he says this: I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. So he was acknowledging, though
they who are alive, they're also dead, many in Christ. So as we live, so must we die. Because again, the process of life is the cycle of life of things that are born and those things that are death. And death meaning a rebirthing. That's in a this is in a spiritual sense, not in a literal sense. Dead meaning dead to the old ways. So in him saying that, he says, be watchful and strengthen these things which remain. Now, Revelation, the third chapter, one of the things I love about Paul in his writings to the churches, as much as he exhorted the church and he gave salutation to the church, he also appealed to the church, the churches. He also admonished the churches and appealed to them that they would walk in love, that they would be in unity, they would be in oneness. And this is the same thing he's doing here. This is his salutation to the church, or exhortation to the church. It can, either way, it's a salutation or exhortation. But what he's saying is, be watchful and strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Remember. And that's one of the things that we need to do as believers, is always have and be put in remembrance of what God's word says. And that can be challenging, especially if you've been saved a very long time. And that's why in retaining God's word, we retain it by the Holy Spirit. We retain it by our heart. We retain it by the Holy Spirit that is deposited in us. And that's why he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And as I often say, there's no way that I can remember everything that I've learned in the 40-some years I've been born again, what God's word says, other than it coming from the Holy Spirit that's deposited in me. So this is not by memory. This is by commitment and faithfulness of my spirit, hallelujah, in communion with him and loving him and stand before the fountain of the living God. It is in the midst of paradise where I keep my cup full and overflowing because he continues to pour out upon me, because he chooses to continue to pour out upon me, because he yet keeps me anointed. So that's important to know. Now he goes on to say, for I found unto was to be perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. Now, John is saying, here, he's acknowledging, he's saying, for I have not found thy works perfect for God. So he's being an apostle, is also a father. And again, that's why it's so important to have a spiritual relationship and understanding the word of God spiritually, because although he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, spiritually he knew what was going on with these churches because of God, because of our Blessed Mother, who and Jesus, who is the good poor. So I just really love that about revelation knowledge, that it's not about location. We are in fellowship with God according to the Spirit. Now, he goes on to tell them to remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And this is the whole thing about being a wise virgin, a wise son, because we're called to watch and pray. And that's the first thing he said at the top of this scripture, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. So in this salutation of Revelation 3rd chapter, this is exactly what he was saying. He was admonishing them to Remember how they have heard, hold fast and repent. If you shall not watch, you shall come on thee as a thief of the night, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. So again, no man knows the hour or the time the Son of Man shall return, but we're told to be watchful and prayerful. And that also speaks of your season, because with this month represent doors, when the Lord is ready to come to impart to you your blessing, if you're not sober-minded, you can miss your visitation. You can miss the Lord. And that's why it's important for us to be sober-minded and be vigilant and not be drunken with wine. We're in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Not being in drunkenness, not being lasciviousness, and operating out of the works of the flesh, being carnal-minded. Because the things that God would like to impart to you, he said, you know, you need to be spiritual. For the natural man receiveth not the things that are of God, because they're what spiritually done. Now he goes on to say, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Thou hast a few names. And the word of God says that he will give us a name that no man know it, which have not defiled their garments. So there were some in the church that were perfect. He said, they shall walk with me in white. Hallelujah. And isn't that beautiful? Because that is the color of the bride. The bride wears white. That's symbolic of purity. That's symbolic of holiness and righteousness and purity. And it's symbolic of those who are not defiled or have been washed from being defiled, from the filthiness of the flesh, from the corrupt old nature. He said, for they are worthy. He goes on to say, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So this is the reward. Glory to God. This is the reward of being faithful, which is the whole blessing of this offering this month, is knowing that God is faithful, and that and us being faithful, he will reward us. Glory be to God. And because of that faithfulness, he said he would clothe us in white raiment. He would not blot out our name out of the book of life. He said, but I will confess his name before my Father. And so I thank the Lord for speaking through John and giving him revelation and speaking to the churches and what his reward would be. And that's no different than today. Glory be to God. That's why following the pioneers, the true fathers of the faith, is important. Not saying apostles today are not needed, but for me, the Holy Scriptures is where we draw inspiration from those who he chose from the foundation of the New Covenant, the New Testament. Now he goes on to say, before these angels, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Again, it's about having an ear to hear. And as I often say, you have to have a heart to hear. It's one thing to hear with your ears, but we really hear from our heart. Amen? And by us hearing from our heart, it causes us to see through our spiritual sight. And he goes on to say, and speaking to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, he wrote, these things said he that is holy. These things he said that is holy, because God is holy God. He that is true, and he that had the key of David, he that opened, and no man shut it, and shut it, and no man opened. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Glory be to God. No man can shut it. And I praise and thank God for that, because That's exactly what he's saying in this season, and it being the season of the open door, hallelujah, that what doors he opened on man can shut. And it's because he knows our works in him, and our works is what we do before him exclusively, not what we do before man, not what we do that's judged by man, but it's by our works. And again, this speaks of reward because it's with elevation, which is what this season represents, elevation of faith. Open doors represents blessings and promotion, and this is what he's saying. He will open doors so man can shut because we are what? Overcomers. Overcomers. Okay, let me run and hurry up because I have a lot more to get to. He says, "For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word, and has not denied my name." So he's acknowledging in this exhortation and salutation that they have little strength, but they have kept the word of his patience and has not denied his name. He said, "Behold, I will make them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, to know that I have loved thee. I have loved thee." So God is saying, I'm going to openly declare my love to you before those who say they're of me and they do lie. And that goes back to what he was saying about, depart from me, you works of iniquity, I never knew you. Because no lies of the truth. He said, I will cause them to come and worship before thy feet, and to let them know that I have loved thee. And that's the whole thing about God. He will declare his love upon us and before our enemies and before those who defile us and try to attack us. He will defend us to let them know that he's loved us. She's mine. He's mine. He said, also, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Hallelujah. And as you remember, in the alignment, this month also speaks of great lust, great sin, which is brought on by temptation. So he will keep us from the hour of temptation, which means he'll make a way of escape. Amen. He said, the hour of temptation which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And that's what the word of God says, and that's what James said. There's no temptation that's common to man that with it he would not make a way of escape. And but he's saying here for those who he knows, who he's blessed, those who are worthy, those who have overcome, that he will keep us from the hour of temptation that will come to try all men. Well, he goes on to say, Behold, I come quickly, hold fast what thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Let no man take thy crown. And that's been going on from the beginning of time. Satan, the angel of light, dawn stars, copycatters, cloners, thieves, which the devil is. He's a thief. He only comes to get so to destroy. Want to take our crown. So he said, hold fast, which thou hast attained. Let no man take your crown. That means, you know, they will deliberately try to take credit for what you do to get the glory, God's glory. To steal God's glory, to steal your glory. He said, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. Glory be to God. And I love that. I love that. He said, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. And that's speaking naturally so and also spiritually so. David said, bless the man whom thou hast caused to approach unto thee. Glory be to God. To dwell in your temple. Amen. The word of God says, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit of God draws him. And he said, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that had clean hands and have not put out his money to usury. He goes on to say, and he shall go no more out And I will write upon him the name of God. That means that what door he opens, you're going to dwell in the holy place forever, your holy place, your secret place forever. You won't have no need to go out. You won't have no need to spoil. Everything you need will be in the garden, will be in the midst of paradise where you dwell. And he said, I'll write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, is a bride doing for a husband, because that's what it is. A doing for a husband. I mean, that means prepared. Coming down is a bride doing for a husband. That means she's already prepared. She's already been equipped. He said, and I will write upon him my new name. He goes on again to say, he that had ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, he goes on to say and talks about and he speaks, the angel of the Lord speaks to the local date, Lucidian church. Let me mispronounce that. He wrote to the church these things. Said the amen. So again, he sealed what he was saying to like a Canadian church, saying the faithful and true witnesses, the beginning of the creation of God. Again, I know thy works, that thou art never cold or hot. I would that that were hot or cold. He said, so because thou lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So in him writing to these churches, the ultimate thing that John was saying was to each church that he knew their works. And as I conclude the benediction scripture, I just want you to know that, you know, you can find yourself and locate yourself in one of these churches, if not all of them. And when he gave me this, he was saying this is exactly where we should find ourselves in this hour. And to strengthen those things that remain. And again, one thing about a marriage, in a union, whether it be, again, natural or mystical, is that we're going to have highs and lows. Highs and lows. But the thing that keeps any covenant strong is that it stays on fire. It stays steadfast. And this is what he was saying about being lukewarm and them being blind and needing to have their eyes anointed with eye salve so they could see, which is another aspect of the divine alignment, which speaks about sight. Not knowing that they're naked and knowing that they are, not knowing that they, saying they were fooled, they had need of nothing, and not seeing that they did have need. So that also speaks of not being comfortable, not figuring you got it. And the thing that I love as I read the last verse of Revelation, the third chapter, is he says in his rebuke, in his counsel of them to try him, gold tried in the fire, that they may be rich with white raiment, that the shame of their nakedness would not appear. So they could see what the true riches are. So that's another thing that he was saying to me in this benediction, is that my eyes need to be open to what we can't see. And you don't know what you think you know. And as any father, as the Word of God says, as many as he received, he scrounged. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He says, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open up to me, I will come in and I will sup with him, and he will, and I will be with him. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. So again, ascension to the throne of God is not given by taking it. Not given by being taken. It's not given by elbowing and religious politics and all that. It's given of God, and it's given to those who overcome. He said, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Again, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So I know that was lengthy, but I had to get it all out. I tried to hurry up for a minute, but he slowed me down, told me, no, get through it. so you can really get an understanding of what he's saying. So Revelation 3 is really on point for this closing blessing, benediction. And really it's a door opener for the season, and to remember that although we might be enjoying the summer months, not to get not to think that because prayers are answered and you have the things you desire in the natural and you get full and you forget or say this is it and that's not it, because there's always more. It's always higher, heightened, deeper depth that we can go into God. So I praise God and thank you for receiving the benediction scripture. Now, quickly, I want to go to the message that he gave me, which is entitled Fitly Joined Together, with the Lord that God put together, let no man put asunder. Because when he gave me this, he was saying that ultimately we have been called and espoused to one man, Jesus Christ, just as when two people come together, the two become one, and they become one flesh, one spirit. And he was just saying to me that we are jointly fit together. And just as John wrote to the church, so did Paul, in acknowledging us as brothers and sisters to what be sanctified, be in oneness, who are called to be in the body of Christ, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So he was acknowledging that the Lord Jesus is not just theirs or others, but he's ours. Because he says, I have many sheep that's not of this fold, whom he also must bring. And he goes on to say, grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterances and in all knowledge. Because again, we speak by way of utterance of the Holy Spirit and by all knowledge. Knowledge which he reveals to us. He goes on to say in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. He goes on again to beseech them, as I shared. He always spoke about admonishing and appealing to them. He was saying, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we be on one accord, speak the same thing, there be no divisions among us, there be no schisms. Ephesians, he goes on to say that he that ascended is the same that descended into the lower parts of the earth, far above the heavens, that he may fill all things. And in doing so, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, some evangelists for the perfection of the saints, for the growth of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, which is what we want, perfection, going on to perfection, not constantly laying down the foundation again to unto repentance, unto the measure of the man, the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means maturity. Maturity. No missing parts. No half bakes. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So being heirs of salvation, being having adoption, being predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, translated to the kingdom of heaven, we have the solid foundation of the Word of God, not tossed to and fro. Now I'm going to go down to where he gave me the word, with the word that God joined together, no man put asunder. Because in him giving me jointly fit together, he was simply saying that we supplied each other's needs. We are jointly impacted together, and that we are to have the same mind, how to have the same spirit. But he was also saying that, again, with the Lord that God had joined together, let no man put asunder. And, again, that's if you're lawfully married and or joined to Christ by way of his, the sacrifice of Christ. And that's the same thing Paul was saying about man. Let no man put asunder. And Paul often talked about man, that he was not called by man. He was called by the Holy Ghost. And so this is what Jesus was saying here. And I can get into the other things that speak to this scripture. It's the Pharisees who came to him, who kept trying to catch him up. But he had the same answer, and he went back to what God said and saying that it's not lawful for a man to put away his wife. And so my whole synopsis in releasing June's offering is to encourage you to know your covenant, know your God. The Word of God says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing in earth, nothing under the earth, nothing above the earth shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Because it was love that saved us. It was love that bounded us. Now, in him saying that, with the Lord God has joined, let no man put us under. He was basically saying to me, again, that the two will become one flesh. And that putting asunder is not letting someone judge your union, not letting anyone who comes in who has not part with you, has not covenant with you, who you have not received, who is not preaching the true gospel, come in to separate you from the gospel by beguiling, by being a hireling, by being a wolf, false doctrine, false teaching, son of perdition, and all that stuff. You have to know how to keep covenant, how to identify things when they come in and try to put asunder that which God has joined together. And that's just not speaks of marriage, that speaks of families. Amen? And that's why, again, God had me come from the Knights of Christ and speaking to the fathers, because, again, the fathers are the ones who God has anointed to be able to see the wicked one, identify the wolf, to protect his family. That's why he wrote to the fathers in the gospel, to the churches, because they were the ones who looked after the sheep, who looked after our soul. And that's either male or female, because I am a watchman, a watchwoman. And so there's no gender in that. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman will get in vain. And he that keepeth Israel will not sleep or slumber. So we're all called to watch and pray. Glory be to God. And we have to first and foremost watch for our soul. And we can't do that if we're not his or we're in disobedience. Now, with the few minutes I have left, I want to go to, let's see. Timothy, because in him giving me Timothy, again, this was a salutation that he was saying. He was speaking to Timothy, but he was saying, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And again, he speaks to him in this salutation to beware of those who endure, through the hardness of heart, receive not the love of the truth, who don't strive lawfully. And he tells them to do hardness as a good soldier. And to remember that that God being the husbandman, he must be first partaker of the fruit. And I'm reminded of that, and I leave with that in closing this celebration of Father's Brides and Covenant, that God is faithful. Even when we don't abide, he abides. Amen. Which is, again, another theme of this month, abiding in the vine. Amen. That gives us confidence that we can ask what we will, and he will do it. Amen. That comes by trusting. That comes by meeting the requirements. Glory be to God. So I'm just praising and thanking God for what he's saying and what he's doing. I bless you so much for being here for this month's offering. And I'm excited as I prepare to move into July with July's prophetic expression. I definitely will have that announced when I'm done with the expression. And I certainly hope you'll join me. So I bless you. I bless God for your life. And to know that our covenant with God is the most important thing in our life, outside of our covenant with our families, knowing God, fearing God, respecting God, honoring his word, will always produce life. Glory be to God. And that is in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who gave his life for us. So I bless God for your unions, your holy unions, your holy matrimony, any covenant that you may enter into, whether it be business or a personal, that those covenants and those relationships will be flourishing. And I also pray that God will also reconcile and heal any relationships that may be broken. I pray that God will deliver and set free. And most importantly, I pray that you come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by way of his death, burial, and resurrection. And that is by way of confessing him with your mouth and believing in your heart that he is the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead. And he yet lives. Peace, blessings, and much love. And I will speak to you soon.